Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of CPA Review and More. We are pleased to bring you the number one podcast for CPAs and CPA candidates. If you'd like to learn more about how Jaeger CPA Review can help you, find us on our website at JaegerCPAReview.com. Now, here's your host, Phil Jaeger.
Hello, everyone. This is Phil Jaeger, and welcome to my podcast, CPA Review and More, of which we talk about CPA Review, you know, tips if you're taking a CPA exam, or we cover more. More means something other than just CPA. All right. Today we'll talk about more. But before I introduce my guest to you, all right, I just want to make this announcement as I do in every podcast. First of all, as you know, my wife has Parkinson's. I've told you that many times, probably for the last 5-6 years. And I do these podcasts to help you. So I'm going to ask you to help me. All right. If you would, I believe in the Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's. All right. Michael J. Fox was in Back to the Future. He got Parkinson's very early in life. And he formed the foundation to find a cure for Parkinson's. And at the same time, all right, they have developed drugs to lessen a lot of the, you know, like the shaking, that type of thing. So please, whether it's $1, $2, $3, all right, please go to the Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's. Contribute whatever you can. I'd really appreciate that. And I want to also tell you that this podcast is brought to you by Jaeger CPA Review. That is the course I own. That's the course I believe in. We're the only course that teaches and follows the AICPA blueprints, which are the tasks. And I'll repeat that. We're the only one who does that, right? If you want to look at our website, just go to Jaeger, and that's spelled Y-A-E-G-E-R, JaegerCPAReview.com, all right? And look at our products. Look at our demos, all right? I think if you look and compare to other courses, you'll see that we are the best, and you'll select us as your course for studying for the CPA exam. Well, here it is. It's Thursday. It's Friday, actually. It's Friday. The end of the week. And what do we have here? The Russians are fighting the Ukrainians, all right? Some real good news, all right? And if that's not bad enough, yesterday or the day before, the stock market was going way down. And also, the price of oil was going way up. That is not good news. And also, guess what? You know, I've been to the Baltic states, right? Where the Ukrainians are fighting. And, you know, it's a beautiful country. And I would normally say, you got a summer vacation coming up? Do what I did. I took a cruise to the Baltic states. Now, I'll let you say this. I'm not recommending that now, all right? Hopefully this will be settled. It's a beautiful country. A lot of history there, all right? So please remember, there's a war going on. And if you own a lot of stock and securities, let me quote, all right, Cramer from CNBC. He says this, if your security is going down in value, don't sell. Don't go panic and don't sell, all right, and just do this, all right. Eventually, it's going to come back up. What comes down goes up, all right. That is my tip for owning stocks, especially at 401ks, IRAs, etc. All right, well, that's what I have to say, but now let's get to the guest. And as you know, Phil Yeager, when he looks for guests, he goes all over the world, all over the country, looking for the best guests. How's that? That rhymes pretty well. And I spoke to a friend of ours, not you, friend of mine, all right? And I said, who is the best person you know, all right, that knows all about social marketing? And they gave me the name of the person who will be my guest today. And I want to introduce my guest, all right? My guest is Daniel, all right, and that's an Italian name, all right, a little trouble pronouncing it, all right, Cacciano. Did I pronounce that right, Daniel?
Pretty close, pretty good.
All right, why don't you give us the exact pronunciation?
Cacciano.
Cacciano, all right. Is there a dish, an Italian dish that you eat called Cacciano? Like that? Yes or no?
I hope so. I better invent it.
you invented it or you didn't?
I want to. I would love to invent it.
Well, that's great. I wouldn't count on it. All right. But what I would say to you is, all right, I lived in Long Island growing up. All my neighbors were Italian. I had a whole Italian block. So we were Jewish and Italian. And I'll tell you, my mother was kosher. She wouldn't do anything but eat kosher food. And I never had the opportunity to taste Italian foods, Chinese foods. But thanks to my neighbors, who were excellent Italian cooks, all right, every time they cooked something, they would send a sample over to poor Phil. He needed additional weight added to, we added to him for carbohydrates. But I'll tell you, I love Italian food, all right? By the way, Daniel, do you cook? Your wife cook? Who's the cook in the family?
I am the head chef.
You're the head chef. Okay, that's absolutely good. And what is your best dish that you cook?
I would say a carciofi e limone, and I probably botched that name, but it's...
And I will say to you, God bless you. No, what is that?
It's essentially a chicken dish with capers and a lemon sauce, and then it's usually served with carrots and potatoes on the side. Super savory dish. For sure.
God, let's cancel the podcast and let's just cook and eat. What do you think of that? Okay. Sounds good to me. Anyway, Daniel, Daniel is I'll use the word expert in social marketing. We know that if we are accountants who have accounting firms, whatever, all right, we use the standard ways of marketing. I send out email blasts, that type of thing. But now we're getting more into different types of what we call social marketing. And Daniel is kind enough to be here to tell us what he would recommend if we are CPAs in practice, all right, and we want to increase our practice, number of clients, what social marketing we would use, all right? So, Daniel, all right, I'm a CPA. I have a practice in Rockville, Maryland, all right, and I'm finding that my competitors now are doing digital marketing, okay? I don't know the first thing about it. Would you want to explain to us, first of all, what is digital marketing?
Absolutely. Digital marketing is essentially a strategy that you would roll out if you want to take advantage of all the users on mobile, take advantage of all the social accounts like, YouTube, Twitter, just all the major social media accounts out there. The platforms out there, and really creating a different mindset for, what's occurring now, which is mobile first only. It's a mobile world. So a lot of people are using devices these days. They're not necessarily sitting in front of their computers all the time. So there's a lot of strategies. There's a lot of things that go into digital marketing. It's quite in depth. But there's a long list of practices that can be rolled out for accountants and CPAs.
Well, same thing for attorneys, right? They would probably use the same digital marketing as CPAs, all right? Now, let's talk about the different types of digital marketing, okay? And how they might apply to a CPA firm trying to get more clients, all right? All right, just pick one and please explain it to us and tell us if that would be a very good advantageous method of marketing. All right. Can you just name one? Or how about if I throw ones at you? Okay. All right. There is, first of all, LinkedIn. What's your position on LinkedIn? Is that a good social marketing?
Absolutely. LinkedIn is used by, you know, accounting firms and CPAs. And, you know, it's an excellent platform for marketing. And it was originally created just for professional networking, but it's become a widely used resource for finding people who provide the service as well. So if you're looking for the service, it's a great platform.
You can look at it for people who are looking for jobs, right?
Correct.
All right. All right. Correct. And that's actually great. And, is it always been more or less people use it to find other people to work in their companies? Has that been used for a long time?
It is for professional networking for sure, but it ended up becoming a reputation management type platform. Meaning, what is your history and who can vouch for you, and you know, what are your connections? And it makes it a little bit easier for people to, you know, do that search and say, okay, this person has the experience that I need. And there's, you know, the outreach kind of begins from there. It's a great platform for that. There's a ton of social media marketing experts out there, but where I come from, and it's like there's a million of people that do what I do, but I think it's more about the mindset. How do we instill a certain mindset from a digital marketing perspective into ourselves or clients or customers, whatever it may be? And so understanding each of the social media platforms and how you could benefit or how you can kind of accelerate your business using those platforms. It's really important. And I can go through that if you like.
Yeah, I'm just curious. I mean, LinkedIn, all right, is a social platform for marketing. All right. Now, first of all, if I don't know anything about LinkedIn, all right, should I go read, they always have everything on YouTube. You know, they'll teach you how to do things. All right. What would you suggest? Take all
great
the
question.
Time and learn it?
No. Great question. I'll go back to the music days when I started my first company, which was targeted at musicians. You know, do you want to, if you're a musician, your focus should be the music, the lyrics, and the ideas. You should never see a musician that goes in the studio is becoming the producer. Like, you work with a producer, you work with a director, whoever, but the time spent should be on making a great song. And I think that's what's kind of happening these days is, as if you're a business owner, you know, you're wearing too many hats and you're losing the focus on what's important. The business owner should focus on the service or the product or whatever they're pushing. Let, you know, digital marketers handle all of that, essentially, because you're going to spread yourself too thin. And it's good to have a little bit, like, have some understanding of what needs to go into each piece and be the decision maker. But in terms of the day-to-day, you definitely need someone that can handle that on your behalf.
How do you know if you're picking the right person to handle LinkedIn? How do you know, what would you ask as far as questions if you were, you know, I mean, there's so many social marketers out there that right. advertise, oh, I can do LinkedIn, I can do YouTube, all right? But I don't know if they can, all right? What questions should I ask to give me an idea? Now, once again, I'm not sure, obviously, what those questions should be. And if someone's giving me a phony answer, BS answer, I probably can't tell if it's correct or not. So
right.
What would you do as far as asking questions? If someone says, oh, I know LinkedIn. All right. What would you ask if you were hiring someone to use LinkedIn?
I think it boils down to just having a plan, having a roadmap. Find someone that understands what it takes to have a roadmap in your discovery and your outreach. So it's not just, hey, can I use LinkedIn? Do I know how to make a social post? Do I know how to search for people? It's not about that. It's like, how do you grow your profile? There's so many variables to explore, with LinkedIn especially. It is obviously a professional platform, so there's certain rules and guidelines, and you can't overstep certain boundaries. But yeah, find someone that has a roadmap that understands, you know, there's content marketing, which is part of digital marketing. You know, to have some level of success, you always want to create like a roadmap, as I said, and it's essentially generating pieces of content every day, no matter which platform you put it on. So whether it's video, images, podcast, blog post, or just sharing content from your followers or other sources. You know, it's funny, Gary Vee, who I follow, he has a very popular video on YouTube where he talks about creating 100 pieces of content every day. That's very ambitious, right? How do you create 100 pieces of content every single day? Well, that's not completely doable for most people, but the purpose is to get people in the mindset of producing content. And not just any content, but content that adds value. So that's what I mean by roadmap. It's saying, okay, where is our audience? How do we explore it? Does it fit in with LinkedIn? Usually, because they're, you know, the top 10 site in the world. Does it fit in with YouTube? Does it fit in with Instagram? Does it fit in with the smaller ones like Pinterest? Well, Pinterest is not small, but Pinterest is a picture site essentially that you can drive links from. But yeah, like Tumblr and some of the other ones, it really depends on your roadmap.
LinkedIn did not have video at one time. I understand they do have video. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Now, do they let everyone use their video on LinkedIn? Or does LinkedIn have a process to determine if they should accept you to do video? All right. Do you know, are you familiar with that?
My understanding is you're allowed to embed video. And I think it's a best practice just to take the raw video file and add it to the post directly, as opposed to linking to like YouTube or Vimeo or some of the others. That's my understanding these days.
And of course, not everyone knows how to do that. So if someone doesn't know how to do what you just said, embed it, I think you said, all right. What would be the best thing? To call a professional like you who does that all the time, correct?
Right. This, you know, a lot of this stuff is, if LinkedIn changes their policy, then obviously you need someone on hand to kind of abide by that, and someone that's staying relevant and current on all the changes that are, you know, being made. I remember once upon a time, you couldn't even ask. I remember you could ask people to subscribe to YouTube, but now they don't want you to ask people to subscribe, you know, in terms of sending people and incentivizing them to subscribe. It has to be more organic and natural. Like, I just saw your video. I'm going to subscribe because I like the content, not because someone told me that I should like the content.
Does LinkedIn believe that really LinkedIn is not for you to promote your business? I've heard that really when you put posts in LinkedIn, all right, make sure you're not really trying to advertise your product or something. Is that true, or you can? Can you get on LinkedIn?
Yeah, there's certain etiquette and certain ways that you can do it. But, you know, especially accounting firms and CPAs and any other service-based or any product-based, whatever it is, even if you're a musician, you have a product, a service, whatever it is that you're promoting, you know, you do it appropriately, obviously. But LinkedIn is an excellent platform for marketing their business. It's a showcase. It's a stage for people to say, here I am, whether you're an individual or a group. And, you know, it has all the connections. It shows, you know, where they're coming from and where they've been. Absolutely. It's definitely with the traffic that the site gets and their algorithm that they have, it's definitely one of the top five platforms that I would recommend for anything related to promoting your brand.
Do you find, like with LinkedIn, that the people who don't have any trouble with it, as far as, you know, they can post on it, they can do all types of things, all right? Is that generally people who are younger, you know? In other words, people in my range, we didn't grow up with technology, all right? That's why, all right, when we go to LinkedIn, we feel totally intimidated, all right? So this is my position, all right? If I had a leak in a pipe in my house, I'm not going to start learning plumbing, okay? All right, because I do other things. What I do is run my business. So you can't be penny wise and pound foolish. So tell me if you agree with this, all right? If you had a problem with your digital marketing, all right, don't spend hours and hours and hours trying to figure it out, okay? Spend the time running your business and also marketing your business, all right? I mean, how do you feel about that, dude? You find a lot of people are just stubborn and they say, hey, we don't want to spend the money. We're going to try to figure this out ourselves, all right? What do you think of that philosophy?
Great question. I've received that quite a bit, actually. In 2010, I started my original company, Bluby.com. That's Bluby.com. And I know it sounds like a different word, but back then I was really trying to figure out, I was trying to find a gap in the market. And I happened to be a musician, so I saw that I could provide some assistance to musicians. So I built the platform for musicians, recording studios, and even, you know, celebrities to just get what they needed, whether it was hosting or building a site. And so back then I was already telling them, hey, I think one of the sayings was, don't ever turn your back on an audience. And that's a very musician-like statement, right? You're on the stage and it's like, don't turn your back on audience. And what that essentially meant is, when it comes to social media and all these platforms like, you know, Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, Tumblr, LinkedIn, all of these, YouTube, there, I found through that process was that there were so many individuals that were fixated on a certain, they're like, I have so many subscribers on YouTube. I don't like Facebook, so I'm not going to touch that. I have some followers on Instagram. I don't like Twitter for this reason. The whole philosophy, the psychology, I should say, of you know, understanding how to promote your brand was all about never turn your back on an audience. So exploring all avenues, exploring all platforms, even if you don't like it, get it out there. And so that's important to understand with, you know, LinkedIn, you know, whether there's a generation gap or there's a how to do this type situation. There's always the understanding is you should be able to be doing all, you should be promoting your brand across all platforms as much as possible. And that's why a roadmap is required. And that's why usually you would take someone on that understands the, you know, planning this in the future and taking the extra steps for the brand.
Another form of digital marketing is YouTube. And I believe YouTube's been around a while. And then the question is, all right, here it is again. I'm a CPA. I'm trying to get more clients, build up my practice. All right. How might I use YouTube as a digital marketing vehicle?
Great question again, Phil. The best aspect out of digital marketing is content marketing. So it's completely separate. I mean, it's part of it, but it's a directive where you are focusing on curating content. And that usually...
What does that mean in simple English?
It essentially means you are coming out with content that's valuable for your users in video format. So whether you're doing YouTube Shorts, whether you're pushing a video every day, you're asking people to subscribe, you're providing content. And there's so many people just doing that. The cool part about understanding digital marketing is there's the whole analytics side. There's the competitor landscape side, understanding what is working by being able to see what competitors are doing and reverse engineering that to make it work for, you know, your current brand. You say, hey, we have a competitor. Look how many subscribers they have. Well, how often are they posting videos? Am I posting videos as frequently as they are? What is their video content? Am I providing equal value? And even if you're not, it's the type of thing where that's where the roadmap comes in. You say, you know what, this is the content marketing strategy that we need to do to get more views, to get more subscribers, whether you're trying to monetize on YouTube or if you're just trying to get brand awareness overall.
Accounting is not the most exciting area. I mean, we have sort of people think accountants could be very dull people, okay? So here it is, you want to go put videos on YouTube. You're trying to make your practice bigger, all right? But maybe, all right, you're not the most exciting person in the world, all right? How would I determine what type of video to put up on YouTube, all right, to get more clients. I mean, I'm not the most dynamic speaker, all right? Accounting is not one of the most dynamic fields, all right? So I say to myself, no one's going to want to look at a YouTube with Phil Yeager talking about accounting and how wonderful a profession it is, all right? What would you recommend to me if I said to you, all right, I'm hiring you. Daniel, I want to hire you, all right? I've heard a lot of good things about YouTube. Tell me, with the fact that I'm not a public speaker, tell me how I can use YouTube and what type of results possibly could I get as far as number of new clients.
In very simple terms, it's better than doing nothing. I know that sounds simple, but there's so many companies out there that want to do something, but they never actually do. So the person that actually is producing some piece of content is going to have a little more leverage over that. And I have a client in Atlanta, Georgia, and you talked about it's not the most, you didn't say boring, but it's not the most attractive profession in the world. You know, it's not like you're selling purple shoes.
Is this
shoes.
Person an accountant or what is this person doing?
Well, it's not like you're selling purple shoes, right? Or you've got something.
I do sell purple.
But it's not like super fantastic of a niche for sure. So my client in Atlanta, you're going to laugh, but it's a commercial roofing company, not residential. Because residential, you could make an argument like, all right, hey guys, I just got a new roof on my home. Let me share that on social media and people will love that, right? But wow, commercial, yeah. Like no one cares if McDonald's gets a new roof, right? So,
nobody cares.
No one's going
to care. I don't want to go to a McDonald's that's leaky, you know?
But who's going to promote that? No one's going to care if Walmart gets a new roof. This company provides that service. And that was the question that was posed to me when we signed with them. And the answer was, we need to get a targeted roadmap for all the content, like create content for your area, because they were very, just in Atlanta actually, and create content based on that so that their competitors, we understood their competitors, we saw how big they were, and we kind of said, look, if you want to compete, let's take these steps. And whether it was posting, making social posts, whether it was giving tips, tricks, advice on certain things, and just some sort of signal, some sort of social signal and visibility for their brand was better than what I opened up with was doing nothing. So, Matt, he's the founder of Roof Solutions over there in Atlanta, and he had that same question, and now they've got a barrage, and I use the word barrage, a barrage of social posts. So it's like you can't deny them. They've got pages that are appearing in Google. You can't deny that, whereas they were as nothing before. So now they're pushing their competitors down the page, and they're ranking higher. So
client a dynamic speaker? Are they dynamic?
They're not in this particular case. We provide the content, but yeah. So it's not always about being a dynamic speaker. There's so many different ways to push content out there. You don't always have to be on video. They call it talking head video, right? Where you're always showing your face. It doesn't always have to be that way. You can be on camera. You can be off camera talking about something valuable. Again, at the end of the day, it's about value and how much pieces of content you're able to push out. Because then you're really denying your competitor at that point.
Does any of your clients use those? I've noticed on some of these social marketing pieces, they're using animation now, an animated cartoon instead of the actual person, speaking. Is that becoming a big area now for people? In other words, I look at myself, I say, well, I'm, live, I don't look that great. And so, I'm going to be cutesy and I'm going to find a company that can create me as an animated character, right? All right, now. Is that a good idea? What do you think?
I think so.
Why is it a good idea?
In terms of using like avatars or animation for somebody to be the face of the company, if there's any concern, Absolutely. That's something that's being done. In fact, most of these brands, they don't have, they're faceless. They are relying on AI and all this other stuff. Further, you know, a lot of these videos these days are, there's a company called, and this is not a plug, I'm not affiliated with them, but they're called Well Said Labs. And they are you can actually sign up for a free account and you can create, you can just copy a paragraph and paste it into their platform and you can choose from a variety of voice actors and it will read it back to you. In like, it's, I mean, it does sound a little robotic, you know, there's nothing's better than a true voice actor. But the point is like people are doing this in marketing. They're finding ways to just push content out there, whether it's AI speaking the content, whether it's an avatar or an animation being the face, or not even having any type of, you know, talking head videos at all. It's mostly just, you know, facts and information that they feel is providing content to their audience.
Is that animated, you know, what you're talking about, is that an expensive thing to do? If you're using, you know, animated characters? I mean, I don't know what animators charge to, you know, create an animation of yourself to do the, you know, digital marketing. All right. Is that, you have to have a lot of money to do that. I mean, it seems to me you would.
No, I think having a animated, like an animated cartoon character speaking the voice on the video, if that's what you mean, is, I don't think that's as realistic as people that are taking, you know, they're taking content and they're kind of creating the animation aspect. And there's a lot of third-party platforms out there that do that. They're like canned type of services where it's like you plug in the text and you plug in the images and they handle the rest. So it's definitely happening. It's even to the point where they've got like people, you know, doing affiliate marketing for them so they can sell and promote their own business.
You know, you just brought up, and I'm glad you brought it up, all right? Another form of marketing, is this digital, I guess, affiliate yes. marketing?
Yes.
Is that being used a lot, or is it getting to the point that just too many people doing affiliate marketing, all right? What do you think about that?
The affiliate marketing space is massive, for sure. But what I've discovered, and I'm not like knee high in that in any way. I do understand a lot of it, but I think what I've pulled away from it is the, you know, people, if you had a PDF file that just had, I'll just use this example. Let's say you had this super knowledge about crypto and in this PDF file, you shared that knowledge. Well, in the affiliate marketing space, that's a product. You could build a landing page. You can say, buy this now. It's usually $179, but today it's $12. And you download it and it's just a PDF file. And you get enough traffic to that, you know, you're making hundreds and thousands of dollars if you do it right as, you know, as an affiliate marketer. But that's not always the case for everybody. It's, you know, there's service-based companies out there. There's people that sell physical products. There's a challenge there. And what I found is affiliate marketing more becomes like an awareness platform. It's like a different angle, like how to get to the end result or the end brand. So it's definitely an interesting space. But if you have like a canned, I'll use the word canned, like a canned product or a canned service or just something that is so valuable that can just sit there and thrive. You don't have to touch it ever again. People are just downloading it and buying it and using it. It's almost like a Kindle, like Amazon Kindle, right? If you come up with your own Kindle book, which I'm not sure if you have one, come up with your own book on Amazon.
I don't read actually.
Well, it's an electronic.
My wife is the reader. She's the brilliant one.
For your brand, you know, if it had Kindle out there in electronic format, it just sits on Amazon and people buy it. You know, it's low maintenance. You don't have to do it.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
So you're talking about like with the CPA review course, is that it?
Yeah.
All right. So what would you do as far as,
put it in a book format and sell it, brand it. And I call it making money in your sleep. You know, you just,
is that digital? Is that,
digital? Yes.
Digital books. Is that what they're talking
digital
about?
Digital books. Yep.
The CPA review market, we have so many competitors. who are selling, actually, I take that back. They're not selling a lot of books, all right? And it used to be that a lot of them would sell digital books, you know.
That's what I mean, digital books. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. What would I do to say, hey, Jaeger CPA Reviews books, the digital copies, all right, are better than anybody else's, all right? What kind of campaign? Is that a tough question? I'm trying to think. What kind of campaign would I start with to basically say, I have books, they're current, up to date, they follow the AICPA blueprints, all right? And you know what? You can buy them digitally, all right? You don't have to have a bound copy, all right? Now, if anybody else is doing that, what would I say as far as why ours are better than someone else's? Is that, I don't know if that's a hard question or not.
Yeah, there's definitely some saturation there. And that goes, you know, saturation has never really been a challenge for me when I'm dealing with, you know, my clients. It's more about understanding the approach. And again, I keep talking about the roadmap is like, how do we get from here to there? And if you stop, if you start at point A, you're trying to get to point B, but you never get past point A because you're worried that it's oversaturated. There's nothing wrong with copying your competitor, not in a malicious way, but there's nothing wrong with saying, okay, what are they doing? I mean, that's part of being a business owner. That's part of, you know, for me, it's more of, you know, in the digital marketing space,
right?
Reverse engineering what the competitors are doing and emulating that, not copying it, but kind of emulating the strategies and seeing, okay, what did they do to get there? And there's a lot of tools that we use to kind of do that. But in terms of digital books, if you have the means to convert physical books to digital, you just have to do it once. And not only do you only have to do it once, it sits up there every day and it's online. And then it's a matter of just promoting it, getting it out on the socials, sending all these social signals constantly out there, you know, kind of getting that traffic. Again, do nothing and I guess it's just going to sit there, right? Nobody likes an empty restaurant, right?
Yeah. I mean, I once went to a marketing class on how to market to get clients. And they said the problem with these seminars that we go to, all right, is that people go there, they get all excited and they want to do this. But the problem is very few of them implement the idea.
Correct.
All right.
Yep. Execution is not there.
Why? I don't know. Why would I not want to implement that idea? Too much trouble? I mean, you know, is that human nature? I mean, if there's an idea that I hear at a marketing seminar and it sounds really exciting, all right, what would cause me to walk out of there and just say, it's too much trouble? All right. How do I keep myself motivated to want to keep following through with this idea? I know you're not a psychologist, but how would I keep motivating myself to say, hey, I got this idea. It came to my head during the seminar. You know what? I'm going to try it. And I know that if I don't implement it by tomorrow or the next day, it's just going to fall through the cracks. All right. What do you have to do? Do you have to do self-psychology on yourself? All right. To say, this is why I should do it. And if I do it, all right, it's either to do one of two things, fail or not. But if I don't do anything, I know what? It's going to fail. All right. Now, do you get into the isn't there like marketing psychology of, you know, why do people, all right, not implement ideas? All right. What is their problem? All right. Are there people who, like a psychologist, handle these type of problems for businessmen and figure out why aren't you implementing this idea? All right. Does that exist? I mean,
yeah, that's why, that is why Anthony Robbins exists. That's why Gary Vee exists. That's why coaching, life coaching and business coaching exists. It's a big business for sure. And I think they say 1%, if you can speak to 1% of your audience, you know, that's kind of a success because most people go there to find motivation, but how many actually execute? You know, it's just amazing that they want to make a change, but it goes back to the earlier comment we made about, you know, I want to focus on the brand. Like, I want to focus on being a musician, or I want to focus on being an accountant. I want to focus on, you know, making shea butter oil at the best, you know, the best way that I could. Why do I want to go and learn Etsy? Why do I want to go post my products on Etsy or learn how to become an
Amazon? I'm sorry. What is Etsy?
Well, Etsy is just another platform where people sell products that are handcrafted. But why does someone have to go learn Amazon? And then you say, all right, well, if you do all those things, you become a better entrepreneur. So the question is, okay, well, how great of an entrepreneur do you want to be? And that encompasses all things, you know, your brand, the digital marketing, the content marketing, the SEO, all of it. It really takes a special individual to be able to handle all things, but it's not always the case. Again, I think it's fine for business owners to focus on what they're great at, and it's totally fine for them to reach out to request assistance in other ways they need. Even if they're creating a product, you know, they don't create the product themselves. If you're creating something made out of plastic, you have to go to another country and have a mold made and do all that stuff. So understanding the whole process is important. And there is a psychology behind marketing. I've used that forever. And it is important to understand that just because you're facing a brand, a big competitor, doesn't mean that you can't do it. You know, there is such a thing as low hanging fruit. So if you're trying to compete with Best Buy for tablets, well, maybe you can be, you know, you can start another company and you can talk about, you know, certain devices that have not been created yet for tablets. So you're never going to compete in the device tablet unless you're filled with cash. So just understanding your space is part of it. And that's the whole psychology behind it is, how do I fully explore everything that's involved in this brand? What am I getting into? What are the costs involved? What's the roadmap? What are the strategies? This is essentially what I do every single day. But yeah, I think most business owners should have some semblance of that.
How did you learn all of these digital marketing tools? What did you do? You set up your business and you did what before that? I think you told me you were a musician, correct?
Well, way back, yeah, I was actually in a band. We're talking long time ago. But
long time ago,
officially, my first, okay, if you really want to go far back to the early AOL days, I was messaging people on AOL. This is back when Mark Cuban started AudioNet. And I was messaging people on, slightly after, because AOL wasn't quite out yet, I don't think. But I was messaging people on AOL Messenger saying, hey, do you need a computer? And I was looking, I knew how to build computers. So I was trying to find people who needed a computer. And I actually got a bunch of people responded. And there's a huge backstory to that, which I probably won't go into. But
how did you learn how to build computers?
I just did it.
Was it something you knew? Right?
Yeah.
You have to have a feel for it. Is that it?
It's just something that I just did on my own. I just started building, you know. I think I may have a friend of mine who was kind of into it. We kind of did it together. But what ended up happening is I got really involved and got my MCSE, which is Microsoft certified. Never used it, by the way. I did the CRAM session in 3 months. Most people take a year. So I was kind of a natural with it, I guess. And again, never used MCSE understanding IP addresses and networking and all that. Never really used it. And then I eventually moved into corporations where I was hired as a network admin. Did not like that at all. I knew at that time that I wanted to be self-made entrepreneur and just kind of built it from there. So officially in 2010, I started Bluebe, like I said, which was really targeted for musicians, and ended up, it turned into something bigger. So what happened was, because I was hosting, I created a hosting company, which still exists today. And so everyone was signing up, you know, $10 a month for really basic hosting, building websites for musicians, providing a platform so they can share their music. And everything just kind of exploded from there. And then during COVID, you know, started Ranknetics a couple years ago, and the rest is history. But yeah, it's been a great journey so far.
What makes you want to get up in the morning and, you know, about what you do? Is there something that makes you say, God, I'm getting up today, I'm really excited about it because I'm going to do this? Is there something like that that, you know, gets you going every day?
In my case, yes. And I don't think it applies to everybody. I am motivated completely by what I do. And I don't think I have another answer.
That's a good answer. Not everyone is motivated. They may say they're motivated.
Why though? Why am I motivated? Maybe it's because I like what I do, you know, in terms of, you know, the daily tasks that go into it. It's something that I really, really enjoy.
I was working at a bank as
a network administrator, working with 10 other people and a boss barking down my neck. That's not the cloth that I'm cut from. So I appreciate the value that I add to my customers and the ways I can change their business and their brand and change their lives. That's motivating to me every single day.
And the fact that you're helping people, I'm sure makes you feel real good. You know, absolutely, that's important. And I'm sure a lot of people thank you for that. Do they thank you?
Absolutely. One of my clients, and I don't know if you've heard of Leo Robin, if you go to leorobin.com.
No.
This website was, my team built the website, but the direction of the website was not ours. It was purely Leo Robin's stepson, I believe. Or was it a stepson? I don't remember the lineage, but Scott Ora reached out and said, I'm working with someone. They're not working out like this. They're charging us too much and nothing's really working out. Can you take over? This is years ago. I want to say this is 8 years ago. We built out leorobin.com.
Eight years ago. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Little did I know that this guy is a legend. Leo Robin is responsible for some of the greatest songs of all time, Bing Crosby, all of them. And, you know, Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend or whatever it is. It's if you go to the site, you can see the full library of all the songs. And so over time, we built this songbook. It's all his songs, all the titles, all the movies, you know, Elvis. Even today, to this day, we are still updating this website. He'll send me an email and say, Daniel, can you post this? And it's like, all the recent stars of today are mentioning songs that he wrote. Again, this was a case where I decided to help him out and it bloomed into this great relationship. So yeah, to answer your question, I feel motivated. And I think it's important for people to love what they do in order to be successful.
We never really mentioned the name of your company. And what I usually ask people is, first of all, give us the name of your company. Secondly, all right, if people are interested in what you do, how might they get a hold of you? All right, and give yourself a plug, okay? All right, I assume you always want to get more business, or do you have enough business, or you want to get more business?
Okay, great. My company is Ranknetics. That's RANKNETICS.com. I came up with this during the COVID, you know, the client base was kind of, we weren't dropping off, but I wasn't acquiring new customers. So I said, you know, Bluebee was there and I said, I'm going to start a digital agency. And I wanted to create like this umbrella type company that covered all things. And, you know, before the focus was musicians and maybe some businesses, but now it's everybody, restaurants, like anything you can name, we cover. So ranknetics.com, it's kind of an exclusive type situation. We have the contact form there and it's like more of a one-on-one situation. It's definitely not like a turnkey kiosk type situation, just come in and do whatever. No, it's more hands-on, one-on-one. We evaluate what your requirements. And if it's something we can handle, we'll take it. If it's something we can't handle, we will not. Very simple. But understanding the full scope of what is required is very important before making that commitment, because it ends up being a commitment. It ends up being a teamwork. You know, it's very important. So, ranknetics.com. Check it out.
And I have to tell you this. If you go with, you know, Daniel as your digital person, I didn't know what to say with that. All right. I guarantee this. He will make you the Italian dinner of your choice. All right. What do you think of that, Daniel? You like that?
We'll throw in a free dinner. And Yeah. I might FedEx one to you as well.
Well, thanks. And by the way, don't use the 3-day as you did before. Okay. The food gets here. It's not exactly.
It won't taste as good. I agree.
Okay. Well, anyway, I want to thank Daniel for being on my podcast today. And I hope it gave you some idea. We just really scratched the surface here. But, you know, absolutely. I think it gave you an idea that here, dealing with Daniel, all right, you're dealing with a professional. You're not dealing with what we call someone who holds themselves out as a professional and really is learning when you're learning, okay? All right, this man has the experience and he can help you. So anyway, you're looking for someone, give Daniel, get in touch with him, and I'm sure he'd be happy to address any issues you have. So without further ado, let me just say once again, this is Phil Yeager. The name of the show is CPA Review and More. And please remember that we go over CPA Review. Also, we do other topics like we did today. And I am the sponsor because I run the best, like that. Is that too cocky? I run the best CPA Review course any place. I've been in here 20 years, right? God, 40 some odd years, okay? You're probably looking at me and say, Phil, how is it that you only look 36? Well, that's my secret, okay? No, anyway, seriously, I enjoy what I do, and you know, and that's what Daniel said. You enjoy what you do, all right? You're going to stay young. You're not going to stay and get older and older and older. And please, once again, don't forget Michael J. Fox, all right? That's the Parkinson's Foundation. And remember that every Tuesday, we have a brand new podcast, brand new guest, and if there's a topic that you're interested in, we will try to get someone who's an expert in that field. And should you want to get a hold of me, remember, I always give you my phone number. It is in Maryland at area code 301-874-4900. It's extension 5, that's 301-874-4900. Extension 5. And remember, call me if you have any questions, even if you're not one of my students. My idea is to stay in this business and to get as many people through the exam as possible. Thank you, everyone. Please be kind to people. All right. I'm sure with this pandemic, you see that people are nastier than ever. All right. Try to be different. Be kind to people and thank them. That's very important. Anyway, Daniel, thank you very much. Take care. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you again on another Yeager's podcast. Thank you. Take care.